Welcome to it, episode number one of On The Bounce Show, right here on The Real Network. Now, I'm hugely excited about this because I've always wanted a place where I can talk about sport at length. And on top of that, talk about sport with someone who knows just as much as I do. And that man is sitting right next to me here, Sandile Shangas. How's it going?
Guys, welcome to it. Maiden show, like a virgin, like Madonna said, let's get to it. Ben, I'm so excited to get this rolling. Let's go.
I'm so glad that your Madonna reference just ended at that.
I didn't say the rest.
If there was any touching references from there, I mean, this is only show number one. But yeah, this is your place to come every single week to find out what's happening in sport and, of course, what's going to happen in your sporting weekend. So, I mean, obviously on the Gareth Cliff Show, every Friday I've been giving you snippets, but now we're going to go a lot deeper. Again, I'm so worried about having too many innuendos with Sadila next to me. But we're all going to go deeper here. And with that, we're going to have all the big talking points and obviously what to look out for the weekend. And of course, your big calls for the weekend that you can put some bets on.
First of all,
you came out so hard in the intro, then I gave you a gap for nothing.
Let's get it started.
Let's get into the big talking points for the week.
Let's go.
Got to say, it's a damn good time of the year to start a sports show. I mean, there is so much happening. But let's start really, really local here. Now, for the last few months, we've heard so much about the Currie Cup. Is it on? Is it off? Is it on? Is it off? And I think this week is now being confirmed the Currie Cup will take place. So if you have been following local rugby, the reason why there was so much like to and fro with this is that there needs to be a rest period. So all the kind of governing bodies are getting together and saying, where on earth are these Oaks going to have an 8-week rest period? And everyone's looking at the Currie Cup going, well, maybe we should just ditch the Currie Cup. But there's no ways you can ditch the Currie Cup, right?
So I think we got to back local cups. You know, I felt like it was a bit super leaguey and the big teams trying to get out the little teams. So look, I'm happy that everyone came to a middle ground and a negotiating ground. And look, guys, you know, we always got to support the little leagues and the little teams. And, you know, Currie Cup, local legacy, it's the oldest trophy in, you know, organized domestic rugby. So there's a whole legacy with that on its own. So I'm happy that everyone got to the middle ground on that.
But I see it more of a horses for courses thing, because on paper you're saying, okay, the guys have played URC, big thing, right? Then straight away, Currie Cup, big thing. Then URC kicks off again in what, October? And then you've got obviously the BOC games in June, July, August, Rugby Championship, and then the November things. So say, for example, you are a, I don't know, Damien Willemser.
Right.
Let's just use him because he's currently injured. But if he, I mean, that explained the whole year.
But I understand the argument, Ben. Like, you've got to have a rest period for the rugby guys. You've got to.
No, I absolutely get that. But what about the guys who are playing for the Falka or Griquas or the Cheetahs? They aren't playing all these kind of games. So for them, the Currie Cup's their pinnacle. These Oaks are primed for that. So why are you giving them an 8-week period of rest? So this is the whole thing, where I'm going with this, is that you can't have a blanket rule for every player in SA because there's tiers to it. And the Currie Cup's a pretty big tier.
And, you know, the crazy part is that I understood both sides, because one is a super commercial side of the argument. The other one is the player safety aspect of it. And, the rest period. So both guys had, you know, great arguments, but at the end of the day, local rugby still has to win. So I kind of back the Currie Cup outside of that. And I get that, you know, if you're playing all that rugby, because I hear the other side of we only play in that rest period. But if you play all that rugby, think about the health and safety risks of playing throughout that period.
I tell you what is pretty simple right now is tennis, because there's no Novak Djokovic. Rafa Nadal's gone. No Roger Federer. We're now in this like clean slate of what tennis is. And the French Open now, 2024, was the first iteration of this new era. So, I mean, I put a poll out on Twitter. Not that my Twitter audience is the be-all, end-all of sports.
I was going to say Ben.
It's close, though. So I said, Ben. You know, like, every new era needs a fan favorite. So who are the big fan favorites now in tennis? So we got Alcaraz.
That's my guy.
Okay. Then we got Sinner. Then we've got Zverev, and we've got Rudd. Those are your sort of big four from, let's just say, the semi-finalists now in the French Open. Yeah. So who's the big one, right? Alcaraz.
Carlos Alcaraz, just statistically.
Sorry, you got to say Alcaraz. Basically, if you got to say a Spanish name, you go three quarters in and then let your mouth do something weird at the end. Alcaraz.
I'm going to back Carlos.
Carlos.
Look, I think for me, he's the youngest guy. I saw the stat, the youngest guy to win on all three. At age 21, on all three surfaces, he is now fan favorite, and he's beat all the goats. And you know, I mourn for my goats. I think he is going to be light ahead of everybody else, and we've seen it now coming off, you know, Roland Garros.
Yeah.
he's exciting, and also he plays such a good old aggressive tennis, showmanship aggressive
and
tennis.
Goes for it. And like the Oak just only has one gear and it's very fast.
And it's very fast. You know, I just hope he doesn't suffer from Rafa and get injuries, but he is the future of tennis. I back him out of the other three you mentioned because he's done it at such a big scale and a big level, and both at ATP as well.
But look, I mean, stem cells are going to be in his future. Questionable medical medical suspensions are going to be part of his future.
He will manage it. Well, did you? Oh my goodness!
I didn't say Rafa Nadal took drugs.
What are you insinuating?
So anyway, in the poll that I had, he came out as like the fan favorite. I think he had like 46% of the votes. He's now going to be the new darling of tennis.
100%.
Now Yannickson is my guy. I don't know why. I'm very drawn to this Oak.
Why?
Mostly because I just
break it down.
You look at him. He's like this big, tall, skinny, ginger Italian guy. There's a lot going on there, brother. No, but I mean, he's exciting because like Alcaraz is a very definite character, and the Sinner guy as well, very definite character. Zverev, all I can tell you about him is that he just had his domestic violence dispute against an ex-girlfriend thrown out of court.
That's crazy. And Casper Ruud, all I can tell you about him is that he's
from Denmark. So I mean, we've got two icons coming through here. We've got Sinner and Alcaraz.
Ben, you scared me. This is the maiden episode. I didn't know where you were going with that. And like, thank you finished that sentence. But I get it. He's a good number two. But you've seen the dominance of Carlos. And I think, I'm not trying to convince you. Roland Garros makes sense. And I don't need to be convinced.
All I'm trying to do here is establish who's convincing. The next big three or the big four. You know, because we've come out
big
of
one. I think it's big one.
You reckon it's big one?
I think it's big one.
Okay, well, I'm going to be a Yannick Sinner man all the way now. Doubly so because I'm getting no love from Sandile on
the
Italian.
No, you're not going to get me.
Anyway, Alcaraz did win and it was a great final against Zverev. I think I was quite surprised it went to five sets, but still, he beat Sinner in five sets in the semis. He won in the five sets in the final. I reckon that Oak can do five sets no problem.
I think
he's such a dynamic athlete.
I think tennis is in such a great place right now because that final was so great to watch.
Yeah.
It went down the line. You know, I didn't know. I always knew he was going to win, but it felt like it could have gone either way. So I think like tennis as a sport with the new three that you've said, I always say it's big one, but new three that are coming out, but such a great place, you know. Yeah, man, I'm super excited for where tennis is going now.
In the women's game as well, Iga Świątek, I hope I've messed that up, because in Polish, the A becomes an N or something.
I should know this,
I'm Polish. Świątek, she, at the age of 23, has won five Grand Slams now. I mean, I'm not an authority on women's tennis, but no one's got that yet. That is absolutely incredible. And she absolutely breezed through her opponent, who everyone's forgotten the name of. Paulini, I think it was.
Yeah, no,
6-2, 6-1 in the final. That was incredible.
She just dominated, actually. And it was, man, she is great. And she's just a closer. And, you know, she's super aggressive. You know, everyone's favorite is Coco, but she just breezed through that like it was nothing. So, like, she's been super great at tennis as well.
Well, I'm glad you bring up Coco there. I didn't realize I was going to go this deep into women's tennis. But she made a pretty valid point. Eh? In her semifinal that she lost, there was a disputed line call that she thought should have had a look in. Now, I know that in France, in the French Open, obviously, they play on clay.
Yeah.
So you often see the guys making the little marks because the clay makes a mark. But now, if you look at cricket, look at all the other kind of sports, look at football now, you've got all those kind of things. The Hawkeye's in tennis.
They still are cake Hawkeye. That's crazy.
It's kind of weird because sometimes you get things overruled. But if you feel strongly about something, it should be like cricket, right? Every set, you've got two reviews.
So here's my thing. And I think, I don't want to say it's an American thing. I think she's being a bad loser because that couldn't have decided the whole game.
No, it didn't. I mean, I think she got quite emotional and said that suddenly it just turned everything. But yeah.
Yeah, she's being a bad loser. And I don't want to call it an American thing, but I think focus on you not closing your games.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. I think we'll punctuate it right there. A little bottom line Sandile here.
I'm not calling Americans bad losers, guys. I'm just saying it feels like an American thing to avoid the hard truth. That's it.
I got to say, this week, highlight so far for me, besides being in studio and doing the show right now, was watching Sandile's Twitter feed during the Proteus match against Bangladesh. Now, if you're on Twitter, you got to follow him.
At ShazLNS. That's a great way just to punch it in, Ben. I like that.
Now, I knew the week was going to start very, very steamy. Because Bangladesh are like one of those bogey teams. Even though we've never lost in T20s to them, in the ODIs, they've often humbled
us.
It's
not a bogey team. And you know, Ben, don't get me started on the
Pro Tiers. Any team in the top eight against the Pro Tiers is a bogey team,
no,
potentially.
The Pro Tiers just know how to, you know, Ben, and you're watching my timeline, And anybody who, guys, as a nation, supporting the Proteas is the hardest thing to do because we invest so much at one time. Guys, we're 3-3 and I'm starting to have some hope, and I don't want to do this because I know anything can happen. But shout out to the Proteas. I want to give them credit now because you know how much I slam them, because they're one of the biggest chokers in any international sport. We're great until we come to this part. So I'm not investing just yet, but my hopes are up. I'm not going to make a big call on it, but because I never know what they're doing. Are they batting? Are they bowling? When we win a toss, we are a bowling team, but we chose to bat. I just don't get me started.
But also, kind of all bets are off, okay? We're playing in New York where there wasn't a cricket pitch. They put stuff together, basically. It was like a game of Sim City. You remember that game when we used to play as kids? Like, there's a cricket stadium. There's a cricket.
I didn't know that you were a Sim City guy.
Well, I mean, everyone had... This was before computer games became something interesting. They were still educational.
Not showing our age, guys.
It wasn't just killing people. We used to build things when we were young.
Yeah.
But, I mean, okay, so the whole point about this is that, yes, the Proteas, they're going to give you anxiety, but they... I think they've shown incredible character to go to a place where the cricket's not played, the conditions were shitty, and yet they had the composure to win those three games. So on face value, you can go, oh, it's the Proteas all over again. They're making heavy work of small teams. But as Henrik Larsson said, you've gone from all these oaks playing IPL, okay, with 200, it's like a par score over 20 overs. Crazy. And now what he says, you've actually got to treat the pitch like the middle orders of an ODI game.
Yeah.
And that is an incredibly adaptable kind of thing that only good players can do. But at the same time, it's like the Americans have, by mistake, I'll give them no credit for this, but by mistake, they've
made it exciting.
They've almost reinvented T20 cricket.
Yeah, and you know what's the crazy thing about this T20? When we got to talk about USA winning.
In Dallas, they beat Pakistan, super over.
And also what's crazy is that why does the USA have such a huge following of cricket? I know everybody thought it'd be empty stadiums. The Bangladesh and the Protea game was sold out. There was not even a seat. So I think it's such a great ad for cricket. Dope to see Virat Kohli at the NBA Finals.
It's a traditional expat kind of community. Like, they worked it out a while ago. And again, this is why they pushed for these tournaments.
Yeah,
cricket, by participation, would be second in America, second to India. By participation. Think about it. Huge country, right?
Huge
expat
country.
Communities from India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, they go there. And those oaks, like, I don't think they've gravitated towards basketball. Call me stereotypical here, but
crazy.
Those oaks don't strike me as the 6'5" traditional frames.
That's a crazy take. I'm not allowing you to say that. That's a crazy take.
Cricket's their game, bro. These oaks love cricket, and they'll get behind it whenever they can. And it's great to see those crowds, people flocking towards it.
Yeah, I think the low score, because I thought we were going to blow it. But the low scoring has become such a... I mean, so many close games now in these artificial... Do we call it artificial?
Let's go with novice grounds.
Okay.
I mean, if you haven't been watching the game...
Artificial pitches.
If you haven't been watching to the level that the two of us have been watching, essentially in T20 cricket, it's a game of momentum and pressure. You build it up, okay? Now, when you're batting, you hit a good shot, you're getting fours, you're getting boundaries, and the constant run rate's going. Here, because the outfield's literally just been laid, like this week, that outfield is about as new as the studio.
Shout out to the studio.
So you hit a good shot, it only goes for one or go for two. So suddenly you're hitting good shots, but there's only like four or five runs in an over. So,
Ben, I want to ask you a question.
No pressure from the batting.
No pressure. Are you shocked at how bad Sri Lanka and Pakistan have been in this World Cup?
Absolutely not. Sri Lanka had like a civil war recently. Those oaks, the country's in turmoil. There's like the farmers are in outrage.
I shouldn't be laughing at that.
But like, you got to look, where does it come from, right? You got to have a decent sort of background. What sort of domestic structures have they got? Pakistan, you're never entirely sure what they've got domestically.
But these are traditional, so-called traditional top-tier cricket teams. I mean, to lose to US
is
huge.
It always comes back to resources and money. That's why the IC3 of India, Australia, England...
Yeah.
They're the only guys that are going to do well in test matches because they've got the ways to fund it. Like, how deep can the funding and exposure go to those players?
Yeah,
because those folks aren't getting picked up for IPL stuff.
Yeah, and I've got, it's probably going to be such a hot take. I think the USA are going to make some noise moving forward in cricket because to beat Pakistan, it gives them a shout, and it's going to be the same growth when they hosted... the World Cup back, the Soccer World Cup. I think there's such a big growth for Team USA cricket, yeah, and it's going to be exciting.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Did I hit a nerve there?
No, I think it's great. It's one of those like fairy tale things. It's like, well, they got a World Cup. It's like they've got a World Cup. Okay, cool. They had one big win. But where are those Oaks playing between now and the next World Cup? Are they playing against Virat Kohli next week? Are they facing Anurag Kalra at 150? They're not doing that. And they won't do it domestically. So when it comes to the big games, they're going to cuck themselves when they're up against the big players. If you want to be great in sport, you've got to play against the best all the time.
But you know the US will always back themselves in a sporting sense. So once they get a big win, they're going to start putting themselves and their players in big leagues and, you know, and the big local leagues. It's a matter of time. That's all I'm saying. It's a matter of time.
It's no, I wholeheartedly disagree with you. I think it's a rugby story all over again. You think, okay, there's so many guys that play rugby. Fun fact, in America, they're only second to England with the amount of rugby players in the world.
NFL players.
Yeah, but I mean, USA Rugby's bankrupt. It only goes so far where you get that reach for a dream kind of thing.
I almost said something so spicy, but anyway, let's move forward.
Anyway, the whole point about this ICC T20 right now is that low scoring has got us so engaged more than ever, and I'm incredibly appreciative for it.
And it's super exciting. I think we've had like four games that have come down to final ball. I mean, we had, you know, I was explaining to my dad, I was like, what a super over is. And he was like, when did this happen? And I was like, yes, it's not 50 over, it's super over. And I think to get to that place was such a great thing. I think T20 is, and I hate to say this, traditional cricket guys are going to kill me. I think T20 is the future. I know people love tests. No, they don't. They just love to go to Cape Town on the final day. I think T20 is the most exciting format of cricket. And I think we got to back it.
Well, there you have it. You come to the On The Bounce show for the real big takes. T20 is the future of cricket. All right, we're going to get more into the cricket. Obviously, the big fixtures for this weekend and the big calls. But we've got to get onto the World Cup qualifiers right now. Now, in that same part of the world, America, Canada, Mexico, FIFA World Cup 2026?
2026. It's every 4 years, yes.
It's 2026. It must be. Yeah, you're the football guy. We're the football people. But now there is the World Cup qualifiers going on right now. So even though, I mean, we just saw Pirates beating Sundowns for the Nedbank Cup final.
Did I not tell you?
Really big moments.
I told you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, on our pilot show, I made a very big call. And the guys in the studio must cut back to this call. I said, for football justice, Man United will beat City 2-1.
This is why I'm so glad we got beers, because I can sit back now and relax while you go through this.
Man United will beat City 2-1. I called it. They must pull back that footage. And I said, and I told my dad this. My dad is the biggest Pirates fan. He's like, no ways. We'll never beat Sundowns. Man, oh man, did we not beat Sundowns? I just had to cut back to that. We're talking about the World Cup qualifiers, but football has justice, guys. It's very poetic, and football always wins, and football gods are real. So please back them when I go to the big calls. Yeah, if you want to risk it all, go for Man United. I'll go with 2-1. Go big, go home type of personality.
2-1 within the 90 minutes.
Yes, within the 90 minutes.
But shout out to the guys behind that, because, again, we spoke in the Curry Cup about having those mandatory sort of breaks. You've just won the Nedbank Cup. A lot of Pirates guys are involved in Bafana, obviously.
And Sundowns, yeah.
And Sundowns.
Yeah.
But straight away, you got to go play Nigeria in Nigeria.
Oh, can't wait to talk about it, but just go.
No, but I mean, like, that's a big thing. And the guys, I mean, in Nigeria, they often beat Bafana, let's be honest. We talked about bogey sides earlier, legitimate dominant sides. So they had a 1-0 lead. They kind of blew it 1-1. That's fine. But now, this week, they beat Zimbabwe 3-1. So they are tied first with Rwanda and, is it Benin?
So did Lesotho drop? Yeah, Lesotho dropped their game. So we're odds on favorite now because we took points in Nigeria. And historically, I wanted to correct you. We actually, I think we got a better record in Nigeria against Nigeria versus each other. So, guys, Bafana is on the way to the World Cup. I'm going to call it now. Hugo Bruce, guys, if you could just give me the contract, I'll sign him on for the next 10 years. He is playing such expansive football. We haven't seen it in a while in South Africa. He's got continuity. He's got young guys coming through. Lyle Foster's back. Lyle Foster, we forgive you for not going to AFCON. It's fine. Mental health matters. We back you as a show. And I'm so excited for South African football once again. And, you know, coming off AFCON, you know, you always doubt with Bafana, can we do it again? We went to Nigeria, got a point. We should have won it. We should have closed it. But coming home, full stadium, giving them work against them, and getting the goals because we needed a goal difference buffer.
Well, exactly. Because right now we're tied first with two other teams. Yeah. And, you know, so what, how many teams in the pool? Is it six?
Six.
Okay, so if we top that...
We go.
We just want to the World Cup. Straight
qualification, guys.
None of this repercharge intercontinental something something on a Tuesday.
No pro tiers, duck with Lewis.
Straight up. And of course, the 2026 World Cup is the 48-team World Cup.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the biggest World Cup ever. I mean, I'm quietly confident because it's time now. I mean, they showed a gear in the last AFCON to give us a little bit of hope.
Yes.
And I know hope and anything in South African sport outside of rugby is dangerous. But I'm quite confident about this.
And you know what's crazy about, you know, South Africans, we back winners. It feels great that most of our platforms are feeling in a winning platform. Like I said, Hugo Bruce is playing very expansive football, exciting football. Doesn't feel like luck. Anytime we play, it feels like we're going to win. I want to give a big, big shout out to Given. He knows himself. He's the Chiefs captain. He got called up, number 18. I'm so excited he got a call up. He had a great season. So shout out to you. I told you I was going to mention you on the show. Themba Zwane, I think he might be GOAT.
You reckon?
Oh, my goodness. Anytime he plays, you know, the country just backs him and he plays for his country. And it's what you were talking about earlier. He feels like he's 35. I'm not trying to mention my age. He's 35, but he got gas for like a 24-year-old. And he just wants to play for his nation. And, you know, I'm so excited for, you know, South African football. I think we're in such a great place. We're dominating in CAF. We're dominating in the, you know, in the international space. Such a good place for South African football. Sorry, that's my bias getting through.
No, that's amazing. Because, you want to talk about the heroes in the sport, right? Yeah. Like, it's so easy for us to talk about Proteas players, Springbok players. We want the same for Bafana guys, too.
100%. And because ultimately, give them credit as well.
Ultimately, they're putting in the effort, too.
Yeah.
They just haven't hit the top end of that yet. But that's how you get these Oaks to be keen. You build fan bases.
Yeah.
And you get onto shows like this. This is where you want to be, sports stars.
Shout out.
Put the hard work in and you'll be on this show.
Yeah, that's it. And you'll get random shout outs.
Random shout outs from Sandile. You can also go into his DMs and maybe sweeten the deal so you will appear on the show. Okay. So the Boks obviously are playing next week.
Oh, man.
First test of the year versus Wales. Now, Wales, we know, are a bit piss poor right now. They got Gatland back, but then they also forgot to have other players because most of their players look about 17. They were terrible in the Six Nations. I don't think it's going to be the hardest test for the Boks, but that's not really the important thing here. The important thing here is this inexperienced squad, 11 call-ups coming into it, is it going to be good enough to beat Wales? Not important. Is it going to be good enough to have a run-out that's going to help them for the rest of the year?
So... I think with the rule change, and you know, I just want to start with this. Like I said, my bias is very South African. So
sorry, rule change, as in you're talking about the scrum,
yes,
free kick vibe.
So apparently, we don't play expansive rugby.
So Sandile, I've got to stop you there because the people who watch the show are sport aficionados like you, and they're also Oaks that might have just turned on.
Okay, cool. I'm going to allow you to go for it.
We need to like break it down a little bit. So we know in the Rugby World Cup, right? Watching Chasing the Sun. Controversially, Damien.
He's got to do it as well. Ben, do it.
This is the one.
That's the infamous call.
This has basically now been outlawed.
This has been outlawed.
World Rugby do not want this. This is like a forbidden hand gesture. Yeah. You can't call a scrum from a free kick because you know your eight Oaks are going to blix them. The other eight Oaks are in the forwards. Outlawed.
Too much billies.
Can't have it. They're making it soft. Anyway, because we are bigger than that, us South Africans, we've already moved on. But that is the rule change. So you can't just willy-nilly have a scrum whenever you want.
Yeah.
So it's taken away a little bit of dominance. The Boks will always find a way because we're innovative. We're not just big, burly and handsome, but we're also very smart. So yes, rule change. Carry on.
Thank you for jumping in there, Ben. I think for me, it is going to be an exciting part of SA Rugby because everybody thinks that we are these bruisers of rugby.
Yeah.
So the 11 call-ups, very exciting guys. Backline is good. Probably our quickest backline we've had in a while in all those positions. You know, when we get into the players, I'll get into them. But I think it's going to be super exciting to have those guys in. And I think longevity-wise, they're going to gel in, you know, moving forward. Because I think there's some guys who aren't going to make a next World Cup. We've got to also be... you know, very serious about that. And I think they're going to be scared about our gas because there's some really fast guys that are coming into our lineup in like scrummies, in, you know, Quan Horn, I don't even get into it yet, but yeah, you know.
I'm just amazed there was a human on Earth called Quan.
Van, I was like,
have you ever? I've never heard the name Quan before.
I was like, Afrikaans person, where did you find Quan from? You watching a lot of NBA, but sorry. I hope that we don't go for. I hope we just let those guys run, and I'm with you on that. You know, I think Pepsi Puthelezi needs a run as well. I hope we don't back our stalwarts, as you'd call them. These young guys, I feel so old to say that.
No, we're there though. Trust me, we're there. But if we meet any like celebrity sports people right now, we're older than them.
Yeah. You know what's the crazy thing? There are a lot of people that we're going to talk about that maybe missed the call, but the depth of SA rugby is so big right now. Because we're talking about guys who dominated in their teams and dominated world rugby and had so many tries and would walk into a lot of national teams. And the fact that they may be against Ireland, they may make the next, you know, it's such a huge testament to the sport and what we got going on in the sport right now.
It really is. And we have got these youngsters we can give chances to. I mean, Sasha Feinberg and Gomazulu.
Yeah.
There's another player. Like, is he going to play center? Is he going to be an outside back? Whatever it is. But what I will finish off with on this little rugby chat is that as much as I want to give the Oaks a run now, when it comes to the Irish series, I'm nervous about the back three.
Why?
I'm nervous about the back three. No Kirtley Aronser, potentially.
Yeah.
Cheslin's got an injury issue as well.
Yeah.
It could just be like a scan, and that's fine. Damien, he's gone. He's out. Damien Villanser.
Oh, yes.
Hand injury.
Yeah.
So now you've lost those three. Now we've got Vili Leroux, who's pushing his way to the 100th test.
Wait, guys, you know there's a lot of hate on Vili. Shout out to my guy.
Not on this show. We're a show of substance. There's no hate to Vili
Leroux, man.
Playmaker.
Goat utility, as they would say.
Against a team like Ireland, who are so clinical, their kicking game is going to be so on point.
So clinical. What? And you know, words like so clinical are so funny that you say that. What's that based off? Their own hype?
The fact that they're world number one and they play a very structured game.
They've got to prove it against us. We're world champions. And I want to say that now. Ireland, come beat us at home and you won't do it because, you know, we're the best. Come do it. And you know, I'm making a big call on that. Yes, they play very clinical rugby, but they've got to come beat us at home.
Of course they will. But I'm saying what they'll do is they'll exploit our back three. If we don't have those Oaks, suddenly we've got new Oaks coming through. High balls on the high felt, bro. Mm. I mean, you can call it what you want.
That's true.
They are going to exploit that. So give the Oaks a run against Wales, but our back three is the only thing I'm nervous about. Otherwise, I still think they're going to win.
Anyway, we got to win.
That's a call for a different day. This weekend, we got the URC. We've got the Euros. We've got Cricket World Cup. We've got NBA Final. There is more. We're going to come back right after that. We just need to top of our beers. These are slitting a little bit quicker than I was thinking they would. They're pretty good. All right, you made it to the sporting weekend, which means you get to enjoy all of the sport. And when I say all of the sport, there is a shit ton of it this weekend. We've got the Euros. We've got the NBA Finals. They're in the mix. We've got the US Open Golf. We've got the URC Finals and this T20 Cricket World Cup. So I think we're going to start with the Euros. Now, I've made some notes here because Sandile is the real football expert here. I know enough, but this is the guy's going to... He's going to dot the I's and cross the T's and all this kind of stuff. So... First up, who's winning the Euros? Because
a big question.
Wait, hang on a second. I wait to see my bets, right? This is where I start all my sporting things from. And I want to know who's going to win. And Ingerland are the favorites. They are the shortest odds on Superbets to win the whole thing.
So I'm going to explain it.
Please do. Because I always thought they were like top 10 at best.
But they are serial chokers. But right now, you've got Harry Kane, the most informed striker in the world right now. And you've got Harry Kane, who is the most informed striker in the world right now. Anybody else can try to disagree with me. We're backed by stats.
Sorry, that Harry, no trophy this season, Kane.
Yo, man, he's bad luck, but he's most informed. And you got Jude Bellingham, who is going to win the Ballon d'Or. And you've got Phil Foden. This is it, England. There are odds to win it. If you are a safe bettor, England is your guy. But they're going to choke. And I'll tell you why, because Germany are doing it for Toni Kroos. I'll explain that as we keep on doing it.
Okay, so while you gather yourself here, because you're talking indefinites again, I love it.
No time
for fence sitting on this show.
No, why must we fence?
So via Superbets here, I'm looking at it right now. The outright winner is going to be England at 3.45, France at 3.95, we've got Germany at 5.5, Portugal with Ronaldo at 7, Spain at 7.5, defending champions Italy at 14, and Belgium, who I've always thought of like the Proteas of football, So much promise, big names, nothing.
And also
they're at 16.
They won't do it this time because all those guys are aged now. You know, Kevin De Bruyne has finished. Not finished, shame. How finished. Can I say that? Jeez, that's crazy from me. Kevin De Bruyne on the way out. You know, Lukaku on the way out. Eden Hazard just retired. That golden generation is done. I really think if you are a smart bettor, you're going to go with England. If you are a gambler and you want to go for it, go with the defending champions. One thing about Italy is that Italy are BMT teams. You know, those are teams that they'll just win 1-0 and defend the whole time. You know, those are, you know, but.
So hang on a second. You are jumping around at a vicious rate here.
Sorry,
I'm excited
for it.
You've gone from England being a smart bet to now you must back Italy because of BMT.
BMT.
Italy are 14, by the way. They're 14 to 1 here.
So historically, the reason I say that is that historically, England lost Euros. They were meant to win it. They choked in the penalty shootout. Harry Kane missed the penalty and it was like, what's happening right now? Italy know how to win big tournaments, World Cup. When they get into the lights, they don't lose. Germany, they're in a bit of a transitional period, but they're going to play because this is Toni Kroos's last, you know, run in the sun.
And playing at home as well.
Yeah, and
big deal.
And France, the problem with France is that they are like the hot girl at school. Yes, it makes so much sense. But in the long run, are they going to win? Probably not. And you know, I don't know if a Kylian-led team is going to win the Euros. I just don't see Kylian lifting up his team, you know, in a hard time, and that's just got to do with leadership.
We saw in the World Cup, even if he scores a hat trick, they're still not going to win.
I don't want to say exactly. This is because Lionel. That's Lionel. So guys, I went everywhere, but England are odds-on favorite.
Okay,
that's it.
All right, and if you want to go best player as well, though, we're looking at the odds in this one. So Mbappe. So, again, we've got definite from Sandile here. Okay?
Jude Bellingham.
Your money's safe. So, Superbets have got Mbappe at 5.5 for the best player.
Makes sense.
Your man Bellingham at 8.5 and then Kane at 11. And then we get into, like, the rabble. So, you know, Foden at 12, Kroos at 16, De Bruyne, who's finished, according to you, 18. Ronaldo, we know he's finished. He's also 18, and then Saka at 20.
Yeah.
As an Arsenal fan, I'm not even interested in that noise.
I can't believe you still support them, but I think... the smart money is on Jude Bellingham because he is the new Zizou. You know, big calls, as I said. He's odds on favorite to win, you know, Ballon d'Or. And that England team is very fluid in how they play. And he's got, you know, he's got the backing support. So Kylian Mbappe's got a lot of work to do. Jude Bellingham can just play his game.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, do you feel that because he's a Real Madrid person, that's going to help that sort of flow?
He's just a great footballer.
Because, I mean, put that talent in the English Premier League. Is it the same player?
He's just a great footballer. He did it in Dortmund. And also the numbers are what we're saying are very Zidane-esque. And in his position, to be, you know, goals and assists at that level. And he is a BMT player. Like I said, you know, they're going to really play through him. So I think he's odds on favorite to be player of the tournament.
Okay, so that kicks off Friday. That'll be the first game, Germany versus Scotland.
Oh, Germany smoking Scotland.
Yeah, they're definitely smoking Scotland. But of course, the same time the Euros are played, the Copa America is being played as well. We didn't have anything this week because our correspondent, who we only know as Mr. S, he's unfortunately become very unreliable. So maybe he can be here next week, I'm not entirely sure. But we will get into Copa America as well. US Open. We got to go to golf, and I'm massively excited about this. Like, if you know me through following me on social media, you know that I absolutely love golf. It's my favorite thing. And golf courses, like, I'm a fan of golf courses.
So, guys, Ben, just do it. Just give them your ad. You gave me your ad, so come do it. Come now, just do it.
If you follow me, at Follow the Bounce on Twitter and at
Shout
The Bounce
out.
on Instagram. So, like, I'm a fan of golf courses. Like, I follow golf courses, and I'm a big fan of those kind of things. Pinehurst 2 is where the US Open is going to be played right now, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the St. Andrews of America. It's the home of American golf, and that's where it's going to be. Last time the US Open was there was 2014, so basically every 10 years is a rotation thing. So that's where it's going to be played. So the stage is an amazing one. Yeah. Then golf right now is, I've said this a few times in the last 15 years, but I really, really mean it right now. Golf's in such an incredibly exciting place right now because you've got Scottie Scheffler, who is the most dominant golfer since Tiger Woods.
That's
and if it wasn't for the
call.
Fact that he might have driven over like a mall cop's foot at the PGA Champs and he was hauled into a jail cell and given a mugshot, he probably would have won that. Because this year he's doing something very special. He's basically winning. I mean, every time he tees it up, he's in the top five or he's winning.
Yeah, 100%.
He just won Jack's tournament at Memorial, which is the perfect tune-up, okay? Tough golf course, smoked everyone again. So he's going into this as the outdoor favorite, and for good reason too. I mean, I am going to back that guy. I am backing him.
So you're not gonna give Rory any...
I'm getting there. Because Rory is actually, as always, Rory is a double-edged sword,
yeah, exactly.
If you want to call him that. Because, you know, he hasn't won a major in 10 years. Okay?
But he's like odds on number two.
No, he's amazing.
Yeah.
And he's exciting, all these kind of things. Mm. The last major, he told the world he's breaking up with his wife. He's getting divorced. He goes into this major now with rumors that he's actually stalking the golf presenter chick, Amanda Boyne.
I'm not going to say anything.
Forgot her last name. So there was all these rumors about him having an affair with the presenter who's actually presenting all the majors on CBS.
Yeah.
And now it turns out he's dismissed the divorce trial. He's reconciled with his wife.
And this is a sports show.
No, this is a story. He's a story the whole time. So he's back together with his wife, and he hasn't won a major in 10 years. So I don't know.
Guys, you can see where Ben's bias lies. He's told us the TMZ story. I just said Rory's got a standing chance to win as an odds on number two. I made a great take. I don't know what all these other things got to do.
There's a lot on there. There's a lot going on here with Rory, okay? Because all of these factors are going to play into him. So maybe he's going to be settled. Maybe he's going to do well. But I just think you need to be a gritty player. So Xander Schauffele, who won the PGA Champs, back in it. He's really good.
Yeah.
He's a gritty kind of player. He's got good scrambling abilities. Bryson DeChambeau in that last major, he became my favorite golfer. So entertaining to watch. He's always got his shots. Mm. And I think I'm going to wrap it up on the names to watch here with a name we shouldn't be watching anymore. And it hurts me to say what I'm about to say.
You've already said some crazy things like he can compete with Tiger Woods. So I'm just going to let you finish your golf segment and just go on with your TMZ section and everything else going, Ben.
I'm going to say this right now, and I feel like it's got to be said, but it hurts me to say it.
I'm going to walk off set, aren't I? You're going to say Tiger Woods, and I'm going to be so offended. Go on.
Tiger needs to hang it up.
That is crazy.
Tiger needs to say enough now, because he's got to that stage in his career where he's talking in old cliches. It's like people are saying, so Tiger, how are you going to do this week? Knowing he's going to do nothing. And he goes, I'm only here because I still feel I can compete. But you can't. If you want to beat these Oaks, who are chiseled, every single week they're playing at the best. Tiger saves himself because physically he can only play the majors. He can't play golf 2 weeks running. He's done physically. So now he's trying to bring back old muscle memory to beat Oaks, who are chiseled each and every week.
I agree with you. I think there's nothing worse than seeing a champion try to compete at a level he can't anymore. But it's Tiger Woods. I back him no matter what. I have to. I'm sorry.
I used to be like that. But I mean, it's almost like watching...
It's like heavyweight boxing. And we're going to get into Tyson. It's like backing Tyson in this fight. He's probably going to have like a heart attack.
That's next episode. The whole thing is that Tiger's legacy was something that nobody ever thought could happen.
Yeah.
So now every time he trots himself out now to not make the cut, it kills those good memories.
So you reckon he doesn't make the cut?
Can you imagine your favorite actor in a movie or a TV series just keeps at it, and eventually they're in like these only on ETV after 11 movies? You look at that guy and he's not going
to
have the same.
Shout out to Anaconda. Fan favorite.
Let's just say, for example, Brad Pitt in Fight Club was like one of your favorite movies growing up, and now he's in Anaconda 7 on E. It's going to kill it, right?
So make a big call. He's not making the cut?
He's not making the cut.
Damn.
He's not making the cut. And I think it's just like he'll go, they'll trot him out again at the Open Championship, which is fair enough. It links course, whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't like seeing this now.
But is he still like one of the, I know we're rambling on this, but is he still one of the most marketable golfers? That's why he always will, you know,
of course.
That's
it's why Tiger Woods.
They'll always bring him back.
It's Tiger Woods. Of course it is. I mean, that guy went through strippers, hookers, car crashes.
Guys, Ben's takes on golf are crazy.
No, but he's gone through all this and he's still that. Jesus. So obviously he's still going to be that. And he worked hard at it and he changed the sport, but enough. I want to remember Tiger as Tiger.
And you should just do some punditry, right? Just be a... Don't
punditry.
Or just give away the awards.
Tiger's thing now, okay, and I think this is what's going to confirm it. Tiger's son is what, like 17, 18?
That's crazy that he's 17, 18. We watch him grow up through
But this
golf.
Is the whole thing. That's his new purpose, right? So now he needs... There's like this buffer between him, his son being good and turning pro.
Yeah.
And that's what Tiger's kind of in like this doldrum area right now. Because as soon as his son turns pro, that'll be his focus and it'll be great.
Yeah.
Okay. URC. URC's been great because that's our Super Rugby now. You will not hear Super Rugby on this show outside of me referencing it in a disparaging sense, because those guys thought they were too good for us. They thought they could play their rugby without South African teams. Well, I laugh at them. while presenting the URC. And it's the semi-finals, right? So as we know, Irish teams are damn good in tournaments, right? Whether it's in Basic Champions Cup, whether it's the URC, because they only pick locals. So if you want to play for Ireland, you have to play in Ireland. Mm. So the best players are playing for these clubs. So when Leinster run out, I mean, they've got 19 internationals on their books. Munster as well. It's a very good national team that run out there. So when they play club competitions, they're stacking the deck.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we've got Munster at home versus Glasgow. That'll be your first semi-final. And then we've got Leinster traveling to the Bulls. So ordinarily, I would say playoff rugby, Loftus, I'm backing the Bulls. But they've had injury concerns.
But you're not going to back the Bulls. And you know what's the crazy part?
No, I say like ordinarily I would.
Okay, cool. I was going to say in this, and you guys are going to kill me. I know it's the first show. In my Bafana jersey, and always, you know, Jake White, one of my heroes, I can't back them. Leinster going to give them that work. They're gonna wax them. I don't know whatever colloquial term you've got for like beating down on somebody. It's going to be embarrassing. I knew it when Jake White said, "Please, can you come support us?" He wasn't talking about tactics. Like, just fill up the stadium, and too many injuries for the Bulls.
Yep. First thing,
Leinster, like we talked about it in the pilot, they lost in the final, so they got to do it.
I'm actually 73 years old. I do very well to maintain what I've got going here. I'm in bed by 8 every single day.
Oh, that's nice.
American sports just don't work for me outside of golf. NBA Finals, Celtics versus the Mavs.
I hate, guys, I'll push my bias immediately. Guys, you can't support the Boston Celtics, even though they're going to win the finals. You know, it's like a certain political party. You just can't back them all the way, you know. But they've got a great team. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown are going to win it. I want Luka Doncic to do it because he is the face of what's going to happen in the NBA moving forward. But I hate to say it. Boston in like five. I hate to say it. I'm a Laker fan.
So T20 World Cup this weekend.
Yes, go.
Just get the fixtures up here. So South Africa playing against Nepal. Now, when you think Nepal, you think Sherpas. You think Everest.
What did you say? Did you say
Sherpas?
Oh, I thought you said something
else. No, they're big into cricket as well. Obviously, at lower altitudes, they play cricket. Yeah. So Nepal, I think they just had a rained out game against Sri Lanka, so they're not really going to be in the mix anyway. Look, I don't mean to sound defeatist, but I need the Super 8s now. Like, the Proteas have steadied the ship. They've shown their hand. I'm pretty confident. I want to see big stakes now, like playing the small teams. But look, it's going to happen. Saturday, that's going to be the game. SA Nepal, New Zealand.
Can I say something?
Yes, sure.
Proteas? Please, can you just make it clinical? We don't feel like anything exciting. Me and Ben want to enjoy our weekend and not have to stress about you guys.
Well, you're not going to be stressing. The game's at 1:30 in the morning.
Let me tell you something.
I know you're not even a big enough Proteas fan to get irate at 1:30 in the morning.
I'd be throwing my remote at those Proteas. You know, we got to do it. Guys, as a nation, we have to, you know, get over this Alan Donald curse and we got to win something. Guys, give them their work. That's the term. Give them work. Play the B-side and let's get it through the line. Please, Proteas.
So,
please.
Talk about playing the B-side. New Zealand will be playing against Uganda. Uganda aren't the best, obviously. Emerging nation. Go Uganda. New Zealand have lost to Afghanistan.
That's crazy for that cricket-loving nation that they're losing so many games that you should be winning. Sorry.
Yeah, ups and downs. I'm not too fazed about them. India versus Canada, Namibia versus England, Australia versus Scotland, Pakistan versus Ireland. Lots and lots of fixtures. I think Pakistan versus Ireland is probably the biggest game of the weekend if you look at permutations of what's going on there. Pakistan lost, obviously, to America. They lost to India.
Pakistan better win.
They came up. They came back against Canada, but this is the thing. So they need to go into that. And another dynamic, you know, earlier we spoke about the low-scoring games. As we get further into the tournaments, it'll be played predominantly in the West Indies. We'll see more traditional sort of T20 scores. So, I mean, as a Protea fan, I'm going to go into this weekend chilled. I'll have a nice little run out against Nepal. And then big
nice
games again.
Nice little runout, you say?
Yeah.
I told you guys about this is what happened against Holland, and we were meant to have a nice little runout. The last T20, what happened? Just tell them what happened.
No, let's stick to the positives here. We're having a nice little runout.
Told
okay?
you can't invest the whole way.
Okay, so that's going to be it. But we'll get back into it next week. Super 8 is going to be absolutely huge.
Yep.
I think it's time for some calls, huh?
Let's go.
I think it's time for some big calls. Alrighty, time for some big calls, and boy, do we have some. Well, Sandile has anyway. I'm playing it quite safe this weekend. So
boring.
If you go on to superbets.co.za right now, we've got a pretty good deal for you. So if you're watching the show or you're streaming on a podcast, wherever it is, in the show notes or the link in the comments below, you'll get a link. You click on that link, we got something really cool and probably actually one of the best deals. You know, Superbets have really come to the party here to make us look good for our first show. deposit bonuses, right? So they're going to match your deposit up to 2,000 rand in your first deposit. Play around, deposit again, they'll match you up to 1,000 rand in your second deposit.
Yep.
And then there's a third deposit bonus too. So they'll match your third deposit for 2,000 rand again. So essentially, you're putting money down, you're going to get 5 grand to play with. It's a pretty good deal. And obviously, the whole thing of the show is that we show you how much sport is out there. Well, Superbets will enhance that experience by going on there. And like I said, you find these kind of things here. So if you know nothing about sports, and even if you can't watch the full show, at least you know who the favorites are. At least you know who the guys are going to be who are going to win. So look out for that. Link in the show notes here, in the comments below. Extra 5 grand to play with. And we've got a whole summer, right? Well, European summer. Because our summer, I mean...
Autumnish, winterish.
I don't want to get into it. The middle of the year where we are right now, there is sport coming out of every corner. Exactly. So I'm going to start with my calls first. I'm going to play down the line here. With all Irish finals, so Munster and Leinster are going to win their semis this weekend.
Say it one more time.
Leinster and Munster, they're going to win their semis this weekend. Okay,
100%.
And then I just think there's something to really celebrate in golf right now with Scottie Scheffler being as amazing as he is.
So I never challenge Ben on golf, but if you want to go big, Rory McIlroy.
Okay. Also, this is my call. We'll get to yours in a second. So competitive. So I'm going to go with that. Okay. So if I put those three bets down to a little multiplier for myself, Munster, Leinster, Scottie Scheffler, US Open, 5.4, the odds are there. So put 100 back, 540 Rand. So Nelly, your call is slightly more adventurous. You're going to go, okay, so obviously opening weekend of Euros, whole bash of fixtures.
Yeah.
This is what Sandile's going with here.
Let's go, Ben.
He's going Italy to win, mm-hmm. Germany to win, Croatia to win, Poland to win, Switzerland to win, and England to win. Your 100, you're putting it down, okay?
13 Gs.
Your 100 on this multiplier, maybe we should actually, it sounds too good to be true. Your 100 will get you 13 and a half grand to come back if all of these sort of play out.
Guys,
so take us through why you feel so confident about this.
Are we going to go one by one? Can you call them one by one?
Well, you've gone Italy to win, Germany to win, Croatia, Poland, Switzerland, England.
Yeah,
those are your six teams you reckon right off the bat win.
Off the bat win, not even close. Trust me, guys, I've not made a bad call on the show yet.
For sure.
I've not made a bad call yet. So, guys, go big or go home. These are certified winners. We've given you all the logistics and why they will win earlier in the show, so back us.
Okay, so I'll work. Before we wrap it up, I'm going to scrutinize two of those calls.
Which ones?
Poland, Lewandowski's not playing.
Trust me.
Okay. Croatia, they're going to beat Spain?
Yep.
Okay, well.
Luka Modric.
Amazing, such in-depth stuff. All right, that wraps up for the first show here. Thanks for joining us here on The Bounce Show. Every week, every Thursday, you'll be able to watch this and get our insights. And of course, feel free to scrutinize like these calls or just give us general banter and sort of gameplay.
Shout out.
Find us on social media and of course on the YouTube or wherever you watch and kind of take your podcast,
yes, sir.
Podcast diets. Great. Go the Proteas. Take on Nepal. Go the Bulls. Do the best. Make an upset.
Shout out to Temba Zwani.
And Sandile, you know, with the shout outs.
You know, shout out to Temba Zwane. Shout out to, you know, us winning. First show, like a virgin, doing it for the very first time. That's my
outro. Amazing how the show has been top and tailed by Madonna. I mean, let's just wrap it up right there. It's almost embarrassing.